Amen.
Amen. That's it. Take your seats. Church, how good to be able to sing, "There is no one like you, God," and to know that those words are true. They're true for us as a church, they're true for us as individuals, and they even are true for a world out there who doesn't yet believe. And we're going to think more about how we can be an intentional place through things like Winterfest, outreaches where we want to make sure that more and more people are coming to hear about the goodness of God and would make that declaration to be true for themselves. In just a minute, we're going to jump into the Word, but I was trying to scan the congregation to figure out where Andrew and Nolene Mercer are. I believe they are here today. Are you guys here? There they are. Guys, can you please give a round of applause to Andrew and Nolene Mercer by way of welcoming them in here? Welcome, guys. And I know some of you are going, right? We're doing as best as we can to try and make sure that we stay up to date with our missionary partners and those who are serving around the world. And Andrew and Nolene Mercer are currently serving in Malaysia, and you guys are here for us with us just for this weekend, is that right? So I want to encourage all of you to make the most of the time after the service. Grab a sausage, grab some rolls, grab some drinks. They're going to be in the cafe. And so if you want to meet them for the first time or reacquaint yourselves or just say hey to some old friends, they're going to be over there. Guys, we're so grateful for what you do. We're so glad that you are here. So make sure that you keep praying for them and praying for our other missionary partners that are either going to be sent out or are already sent out all over the world. I just want to make sure I let you guys know as well that today we are doing something a little bit different. We purposely have an AGM Celebration Sunday combination today. We're going to do something a little bit different, and so after we've spent some time in the Bible today, I'm going to show a short video that's hopefully not only going to prove as a transition, but also as a way for us to look at what God has done, what he's continuing to do, and give us hope for what we hope he's going to do in the future. And so in that time, if you haven't yet registered, you'll be able to register at the back, or you can just head over to the website and even do that now if you want. Also, if you absolutely have to leave, you can go. But we have decided that we want to make this one continuous service today. Make sure that we all get to celebrate not just the time of worship, but the time in the Word and time of coming around family business as a church together. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into some Bible time together. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the time of worship and of singing that we've already had. Father, thank you for the privilege that you've given us to be the church, body of Christ. And now as we come to your Word, God, I pray that you would convict and change and encourage, renew our spirits today. Even as we sit here now, settle our hearts and just remove distractions so that you might speak to us by your Spirit through your Word. God, we thank you that you do that. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we get started this morning, I wanted to ask if you have ever witnessed or been a part of something so significant that it completely eclipsed whatever else was going on around you. In spite of the situation that you were in, whatever you were experiencing was the only thing that you could pay attention to. And as a result, it changed the whole environment in which you were currently existing. And if you've ever had one of those all-eclipsing kind of moments, I'll give you a chance to think about it in a second. But as I ask that question, maybe you're kind of led to a moment that is so joyful, so happy, that in light of everything that's going on around you, all you can think about is this all-eclipsing thing that is happening. And I'm scanning the middle section because I know Gad normally sits there. Where's Gad? There he is. Gad, where is your fiance? Just checking. She does. All right, fine. Free pass. The reason I'm singling out Gad today is because in just a few days, Gad is going to be standing at the end of an aisle, much like this, looking down to the end, and who will be coming around the corner? Hopefully not Alan Pollard. Hopefully Nico is going to come around the corner. Alan's like, what am I supposed to do? And you are going to lock eyes, and you're going to see her. And dude, there could be doves flying overhead. There may be doves. Maybe we should arrange doves. There could be doves flying overhead. There could be grenades going off. There could be grenades blowing up doves overhead. You wouldn't care. You're just going to be in this moment. Those of you who have experienced this know that bride and groom lock eyes down the aisle. And it doesn't matter what else is happening. In an all-eclipsing moment, that is all that you can pay attention to. Thing is, though, some of you might be led to think of something not quite as joyous as that. Maybe it's something a little bit more serious or even sad. I know for me, and I know for, I would guess, all of us, there have been moments in our lives where something so tragic or so sad or so consuming has happened that it doesn't matter what people say or what your environment is around you, there is very little, if nothing, that can ease the hurts and the pain and the discomfort of whatever this all eclipsing event is. Or maybe for you it's not so much a joyful moment or a sad moment. Maybe for you it's a moment that has its own gravity, a whole separate category of thing. And when I think of this category, here's what I think of. That's me holding Soph for the very first time. Right? Hold it together. And Soph was, she turned 8 just a few days ago. And there is absolutely nothing that has changed from that day until now. Where in the gravity of this moment, I'm sure there were nurses in the room, and I'm sure there were other people, but all I wanted to do was grab my phone and take a selfie of this all-eclipsing moment. I think the next picture kind of summarizes what day 2 looked like. Matching awesome fashion sense. But those of you who have been there, Broncos, I think of you guys, and I think of Amitha and Sand, like, you know, baby pops out and all of a sudden, your world goes like this. And this tiny little thing suddenly becomes this all-eclipsing event, person, moment that you actually are struggling to see past. You see, here's the thing. Every single one of us at some point have experienced one of these moments. And this is not just a thing that's true, obviously, for Christians or for church. This happens to everyone. And here's what we know because we have experienced these things. It's this, that our perspective, that is the way that we regard reality, our perspective means something. It is of substance. And it means so much that it can even change the very environments in which we are in. And so today, you know this, I know this, and the Apostle Paul knows this as he writes this section of Colossians 1 that we are going to get into today. Because in today's message, we are looking at part 2 of blood, sweat, and tears. And so make sure you have your Bibles ready on your laps. Obviously, the words will be up on the screen. But in part 2 today, as we look at towards the second part of Colossians chapter 1, we're carrying on when we left off last week, where we were saying we wanted to look at what God has done. And so we were looking at what God has done through the first part of Colossians chapter 1. And we said, in light of what God has done, our first response should be to be thankful. And we added to that also to be praising and to be worshiping him. And we also said that we need to make sure that we are intentional in the way that we live. That we are walking in a manner that pleases the Lord. We are actually walking in a manner, making every effort to do that. And to make sure that we can actually do that, Paul says that we need to be strengthened. In fact, in verse 11, if you have your Bibles, it won't be on the screen, but Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 says this, that we are being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For, and we've heard this so many times, we spoke about this a lot last week, all endurance and patience with joy. And then as we finished up last week, we saw and we looked, realized that the reason that we can patiently endure with joy is because God has qualified us. What a great word. God has qualified you for an inheritance. And the way that he's done that, as John Piper summarizes so well, the way that he's qualified us for an inheritance is by paying the redemption price for the forgiveness of all sins and bringing us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That is how God has qualified us for an inheritance. And so let's just make sure that all the years of Sunday school and children's church are about to pay off. We're going to give that, the answer. Nine out of 10 times in Sunday school, this is the right answer. And you might know where I'm going with this. Who is God's beloved Son? Gee, come on, 6 p.m. congregation. The 6 p.m. congregation is sitting right here, and they're like, we are normally asleep right now. The answer is Jesus. Of course it is. It's Jesus. And so at this point, after encouraging us to walk in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord, being strengthened by God's might and patiently enduring as those who have been redeemed by Jesus, what Paul does next is he kind of stops and he pauses. And I think gives us as a church one of the greatest privileges and one of the greatest gifts that he could have possibly given us, which is an all-eclipsing view of Jesus. That this morning, if we can see and understand, will completely change our perspective and become the very sustenance and the substance that we need in our lives for us to patiently endure with joy. And so last week, if we were looking at what God has done, this week we're going to look at who Jesus is. We're going to look at who Jesus is, and the first thing that we're going to see as we turn to verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1 is look at who Jesus is over creation. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, read with me. He, speaking about Jesus, remember, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, to which we might as well say, that's it. What else do you need? Richard, let's AGM. Band, let's go. Let's save some time. Let's go straight into it. Jesus, do you see what it says there? He is the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so think about it. For Jesus to be the very substance and sustenance for us to patiently endure with joy, he needs to be what? He needs to be big. In fact, he needs to be very big. For us to have this life-altering, perspective-changing, all-eclipsing view of Jesus, Paul says, well, how about this one? That Jesus is the full and complete embodiment of what it meant for God to enter his world as a creature. That is who Jesus is. And a lot of you might know and have heard and understand that the Bible says that we are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. But what the Bible says here is that Jesus is the image of God. And that term, firstborn, is one of highest preeminence. In other words, Jesus holds the highest status as the bearer of God's very image. Or as Paul's going to say later in verse 19, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And so we look at who Jesus is over creation. The first thing that we see is, in fact, that Jesus is God. But there's more. Verse 16, read on with me. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And I wonder, as we do a bit of Bible work this morning, when Paul says all things and then says all things again, what could he possibly mean by all things? I think, this is just a hunch, I think what he means is all things. And I think we sometimes just kind of go, yeah, cool, that just kind of washes over our heads. But there is nothing outside of that which Jesus has created other than God himself. And not only is he the creator of all things, but as we've just seen, he is also the one that all things are created for. Things are created to display his greatness. Why? Through him, and what does it say? For him. And so look at who Jesus is over creation. Jesus is God. Jesus is creator. And verse 17, we read on, and he is before all things. And in him, think about this for a second, all things hold together. So not only is Jesus the creator, but the sustainer of all things material, immaterial, earthly, and cosmic. Sustainer of all things. Earlier this week, I was listening to a podcast that had a scientist on, and they were kind of debating whether the second law of thermodynamics is actually something that should be considered a law in light of recent discoveries and thoughts in physics. Anybody know what the second law of thermodynamics is? Anyone heard of the second law of thermodynamics? All right, great. Yes, excellent. It's good then that I Googled a very simple explanation of the second law of thermodynamics. It is this. You ready? And this is like Google's most simple definition. The second law of thermodynamics means hot things always cool unless you do something to stop them. And here's the important part. It expresses a fundamental and simple truth about the universe, that disorder, characterized as a quantity known as entropy, always increases. Disorder always increases. And so these guys are going backwards and forwards, and you're like, Dan, what podcasts are you listening to? This sounds so boring. But they were kind of talking how on a cosmic level, they're trying to decide, are these things true? Is this really how things work? And I'll be very honest, I was holding on to about 5% of the conversation because, you know, once I got technical, it was kind of going over my head. That's the one reason. But the other reason was this, that as they were talking, I had these verses in my mind. And as they're trying to talk about, you know, laws and all these things, all I could think was, and he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. You see, what the laws of physics and science and all these well-intentioned things fail to recognize sometimes is that as much as these laws are tried to put in place so we can understand what's going on around us, ultimately, he is before, Jesus is before all things. He is the one, whether these laws are true or not, he is the one that holds it all together. Everything from the vast spinning galaxies in outer space to wormholes and supernovas to the very neuron that just fired in your brain that caused you to think, what the heck is a supernova? And I had written down supernova and I thought I better check it out. You know what a supernova is? It's an exploded star. Think about that. Jesus even controls the explosion as it happens and the very exploding star within the vast expanse of space. All of that and everything down to the very breath that you just took. He holds it all together. So the first thing, look at who Jesus is over creation. He is God, he is creator, he's sustainer. And so what are you going to do now, Paul? What are you going to do now? You've started pretty big. How is it that you're going to help us with an all-eclipsing view of Jesus? You can't zoom out any more than you've already done. So Paul's not going to zoom out. In fact, he is going to zoom in as he increases our view of who Jesus is. So look at who Jesus is over creation, and now look at who Jesus is over the church. Verse 18, let's read. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So think about this. The same Jesus that is over all of creation is also now seen as being over the church. But here's the thing. Not as some kind of distant overlord, ruler or king or kind of far off headmaster that is suppressing his people, but as the very beginning of a new creation, as the first who rises from the dead. And as the first who rises from the dead, it places him as the preeminent head of the church. The church. This church. Our church. Us. Over us. And we might think, well, that's great for Jesus. And I guess that's good news for us. But it doesn't end there. Because for him to be the first to rise, he also had to die. But in his resurrection, he did not just prove and display his preeminence. No, more than that, what he did is a reconciling work. A reconciling work even for you and for me as his church. Look at verse 19. For in him, all the fullness of God, Jesus is God, fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And so, Northcote, do you realize that you belong to the body, that the Creator God said, I want to be the head of? But instead of just picking some kind of random group, and from his position of preeminence and glory, instead of just looking down and thinking, these are who the people that I'm going to trample on and rule over, rather than that, instead of trampling down on, he gently stepped onto earth. And you know the story. He stepped onto earth with the fullness of God dwelling within him, and then he makes peace by dying our death on the cross for us. And so look at who Jesus is over the church this morning, friends. And if he truly is firstborn, preeminent, God indwelt, reconciling, redeemer, if those things are true and we believe them to be true, then today on this celebration, AGM Sunday, we are not just some insignificant, random group of people trying to blindly build this thing called church, trying to kind of somehow construct ourselves and work together. No, today we can have hope and we can take comfort knowing that we are able to patiently endure with joy. Why? Because Jesus himself is the head of this church. Jesus is the leader. Jesus is the captain of this ship as we move forward together. And so again, look at who Jesus is over creation. Look at who he is over the church. And finally, Paul's going to zoom in one more time to you and to me. Look at who he is over you. verse 21. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. It's almost as if Paul is saying, I can't make Jesus any bigger or any more of a deal, a real deal for you in your life right now. Think about it. What he does here is he quickly just summarizes every single one of our lives in one sentence. You didn't want him. You didn't even think that you needed him. In fact, you were hostile towards him, and you were living in an evil way. And out of no good thing that you and I have done, he turned it all around by dying in our place. Not just to present us neutral, not just to present us alive, but what does it say? To present us holy and blameless. How is that now for a perspective-changing, life-altering view of who Jesus is over your life? And if you are here today as someone who would say, well, you know, I have considered myself hostile towards Jesus. Maybe you've been doing your own thing. Maybe you would even have to admit that they were evil things. And if you're honest, you're kind of tired of where it's gotten you. You're tired of the way you feel as someone who is hostile towards God. Perhaps you came in today wondering if there's not something more. Well, then know this, that by simply placing your faith in the reconciliation and the blood of Jesus, you too can be at peace with God. And everything that we've spoken about up until this point is true for you. Jesus being over all creation, over the church, even over you and me. In other words, there is no sphere of your life that isn't eclipsed by Jesus, who is the creator, Jesus who is the head, Jesus who is the redeemer, whose goal, think about this, is to present you and me blameless and holy. Just allow that perspective to shape the way you see whatever situation you find yourself in right now. Whatever situation you find yourself in as you leave church today, as you walk into Monday tomorrow, every situation. And I was thinking about this morning as I woke up and I was driving to go grab my coffee before I came to church. And there was a moment where the sky kind of parted and the sun was rising. And I kind of got distracted in my rearview mirror as I looked and I saw that the pinks and the oranges starting to kind of like burst through the clouds. And my first thought, unfortunately, was like, wow, that's beautiful. Look how good that is. What a great day. My second thought, which should have been my first and most important thought, was Jesus did that. Jesus has done that forever. And Jesus is going to continue to do that as he sustains and pulls colors out and puts them before us in the display of a creation that does one thing, turns and praises him. And you might say, well, Dan, that's great, but what about for me in my life right now? How does Jesus over creation help me to patiently endure as I find myself at work or at home where maybe things aren't going so well or a time of trial or something that I'm going through? I'll give you a very simple and not very extreme example of this that happened to me this week, but hopefully it's helpful. I was driving home from church, and I was kind of merging onto one of the main roads here, and it's at a busy time, right? And it's at a time where tensions are high. Everyone wants to get home. Everyone's kind of jostling for position. And some guy was out there just behaving like an absolute... Josh, give me a word. What's a good church word? Yeah, don't cover your mouth. Yeah. He wasn't doing what I wanted him to do. And I wasn't doing what he wanted me to do. And as a result, this tension was coming. And this road rage was building. And unfortunately, again, my initial instinct is to retaliate. And in this moment of conflict, with these things in the back of my mind, I just looked at him and I thought, you know where you came from? You know who you are? You're a created being. My God, my Jesus created you. He holds the molecules in your face together. He keeps your car on the road through his laws of gravity. And as I started thinking about gravity, I started thinking about how does gravity work? I don't even know. There's got like the earth is spinning and we're here and somehow we're not floating. And someone smarter could explain this to me, right? But as I started thinking about where we are in this great big globe spinning out in the vast expanse of space, I thought, how incredible, how amazing that we are perfectly held in balance, even within the vast expanse of everything that is around us. Supernovas, we know what supernovas are right now. Galaxies, the universe in perfect unison, all existing for what? This one thing, to make much of and bring glory to Jesus. And you're thinking, wow, Dan, that is the longest red light you've ever encountered in all of history. But here's what I'm trying to say. Allow the glory of Christ over creation to sustain your joy as you exist as one of his created creatures. And you might say, well, what about us as a church? Well, think about this, as we patiently endure with joy, as we serve, as we give of our time and our money and our talents and our efforts, as we look to Jesus over the church, realize that he is one who's raised us to life. And he's one who's made peace through his death for us. And so when you turned up at church today, you weren't just ticking another box. As people right now are serving in children's church, as we're thinking about, I wonder if I should give a few hours of my time in a couple weeks to Winterfest. As you come to volunteer, as you come for rehearsals, as you sit and listen to God's word preach, we're not just ticking another box. No, what are we doing? We are joyfully joining a body of redeemed brothers and sisters who are following Jesus. And so what about you? What about me? Well, you can patiently endure with joy because Jesus, think about this, out of no good thing that you or I have done, decided that he would go through the most joyless thing imaginable by going to the cross so that you and I could be made holy and blameless before God. And I don't know how much or how little you think of yourself, but let me just remind you today that that is what Jesus, the Creator, thinks of you. And so, church, this morning, allow the eclipsing glory of Jesus to change every aspect, the entire atmosphere of your life, as we look to him over creation, over the church, and you and me over us, over you.